Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I am the Watcher. I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question. What if?
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of Tooncast. This is our 242nd episode. I am, of course, one of your hosts, TFU and Mike. Joining me is one of the BAM crew members, Allison Richards, from the Fortress of Baileytude's Superman and Lois tapes. Hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am trying to be calm, just trying to be still and not worry about stuff that I need to worry about, which sucks. So there's that.
And you can worry about it another day. Because it'll still be there anyway.
Sadly, it will.
We've seen this before. A universe in the final days of destruction. But this particular story, this one breaks my heart.
We're welcoming you to Tooncast and the Geekcast Radio Network's hashtag Superhero Saturdays. We only have 1 week left after this, where we will be giving you our spoiler-filled discussions on Marvel Studios' new animated series, What If? So, I don't have a what if question for this one, because if Ultron won, we'd all be gone. Yikes.
Yeah. What if you survive? If you were the last person on Earth is pretty much what that comes down to.
Yeah. It would be boring.
Well, it seems that Clint and Natasha kept themselves entertained. Or at least Natasha kept themselves entertained.
If they have each other. Yeah. And Natasha always keeps herself entertained. And this is the episode you were talking about where she's her badass self on the motorcycle. And in other news, ScarJo and Disney have come to a settlement. Of course, it's behind closed doors and all that and whatever else, but at least it's no longer going to be news.
Well, not only that, but she deserved to have her pay.
So. Well, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So, we have What If Ultron won, and wow, what an episode this was.
Yeah, I mean, Age of Ultron is my favorite MCU movie, mainly because I get both a really good Hawkeye story and I get my one movie with Quicksilver in it, you know? So it's actually kind of scary of thinking of what would have happened if they, if they didn't get the cradle. Because there are many ways that that Ultron could have, you know, could have gotten himself into there if it wasn't for, you know, the Avengers. And if it wasn't for Wanda. Yeah. I mean, Wanda is the one that really instigated it. Because Wanda, you know, taking Helen Cho from being, mind controlled by the staff. You know, that he would have won. And this is what would have happened, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Wanda. Thank you, Wanda Maximoff.
Yeah, it's funny. As of this recording, I have now seen Season 1, Episode 8, What If Ultron Won, 4 different times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time I was just sitting here and letting Audacity record the audio so I can get clips, the clips that I put in the final podcast and everything else. And apparently after it was done, instead of clicking save, I clicked X. So I had to re-record it like 20 minutes ago. And then obviously I watch it at least twice to make sure I get everything or I notice everything that I can notice.
The end of the world began with one man's dream.
I see a suit of armor around the world.
He saw a world of peace. With the Mind Stone, Tony Stark created Ultron. But Ultron only saw one path to peace.
The elimination of all life.
Do we know? Have they explained it all about Clint's robot arm?
So, from what I gather, this is taking place. It has to be at least a couple of months minimum from when the world exploded through, you know, maybe a year or two. 'Cause I want to think it's going to be a lot longer than just a couple of months, because they know exactly how long it takes for upload links, how long it's all that. Clint has got this amazing, you know, like invisible cloak, you know, that blends him into the snow. You know, and just eventually Clint is the one who takes a lot of risks, because he puts himself in high places, whereas Nat is usually on the ground. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Clint, you know, he lost the arm in battle, just like it got shot off in this battle, you know? And it looks kind of like it had the same connection to his shoulder, to his collarbone and such that Bucky has.
Yeah.
Which means that if Nat did it herself for him, that would have been a really scary thing, but she would have access to the records on how they did it to Bucky. Or that somehow Bucky survived long enough to that point where when Clint got injured, they were able to help him with it. Because there's a couple ways it could go. If we think about time frame of where it happens in the MCU arc, this is going to be Age of Ultron. So, Bucky's no longer, you know, Winter Soldier. We finished the Captain America Winter Soldier movie right before this. So he is no longer brainwashed. He's a fugitive, but he's still out there. You figured that Wakanda hasn't been brought in yet. So technically Wakandans, with their shield technology, depending on how the missile stuff, you know, happens, Wakanda could be safe, you know? Yeah. So there are a lot of options on how Clint and Natasha wouldn't be the last people on Earth immediately, but they are probably the only people in Russia right now. For sure. Yeah. So between either Shuri or Bucky, you know, Natasha going to Bucky, they would have figured out how to help him. But it definitely wasn't Tony, because Tony died while he still had two arms.
Yeah, it's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to see that side of this, where what if Ultron won and, you know, he gets the body of Vision and he gets the this and he gets the that.
Ultron required one thing. An organic body to call his own. One that fused the powers of man, machine, and mind into one. In your universe, the Avengers stole the cradle and used it to create the hero, Vision. But in this universe, Ultron got his wish. With the infinite power of the Mind Stone, Ultron began.
Well, there's a couple of things that suspension of disbelief really really kind of made me have to stop and be like, but is this real? Could he actually have survived this? Like being shoved into the molten core of a planet. We saw that with Ultron, vibranium melted when Vision, Thor, and Iron Man were aiming all their beams at once at Ultron in Age of Ultron.
Right.
I really want to know how the heck that he didn't melt in as Captain Marvel shoved him into the molten core of a planet. Kind of also want to know how Captain Marvel didn't melt, but, you know, she at least has, you know, like magic alien powers. I want to say this, the stones could be responsible, but we already saw that when he heated up the glove to get the stones remained, the gold melted away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So for me, that's kind of a whole, how did the rest of it stay?
But the Age of Ultron was only beginning. Fascinating.
And not melt away. How did the vibranium manage to hold up in a molten core? So,
yeah,
you know, that kind of sat made me sit back and be like, wait a minute. Also, the thing that really kind of got the other thing that like really confused me in this episode is that the Watcher is talking about the story in past tense.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Ultron can hear him in the moment.
It's done. At last. The realization nearly broke the machine. With his mission complete, Ultron was now just a program without a purpose. The victor without a war, sentenced to spend all of eternity alone.
Who said that?
Basking in the boundless silence of his universe, Ultron ascended to a previously unattainable level of consciousness. He became aware of another. He became aware of the...
I see you. There are universes beyond my own.
I have seen everything that has ever happened, ever will happen, ever could happen, and yet, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And that was like a tense breaker.
Oh, yeah. Because, again, just like in the Strange episode, when Strange was like, who's that? Who's there? I can see you. You're not supposed to be able to see me. You know. But this one was way scarier. This one was way more creepy.
Yeah.
And I will say this right now for anyone listening. I need to read up on The Watcher. I do not know a lot about his character overall. And again, this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This isn't taking him from the comics. But the general gist I get is that he, as he says, he's not supposed to intervene. He's supposed to just observe. And, I mean, Ultron basically throws that back in his face and says, well, that's really creepy on your part. You should have intervened. You should have done something to save this universe.
The entire multiverse at your fingertips, and you spend all your time up there? Wow, isn't this more fun than just watching? And to be honest, it's a lot less creepy on your part.
Yeah, but the other thing is like, the way that they've set the Watcher up is that the Watcher wasn't a character. The Watcher was a storyteller. Mm-hmm. He was being used as a storyteller. So how does the storyteller, who is telling of something that has happened, and he is speaking to the audience and not actually like aloud to the world in general, how does Ultron even hear him in the first place? I mean, does the Watcher just like, you know, audibly dictate his stories aloud when he is talking to him? Does he talk to himself as he is, you know, being a storyteller?
I think it's because Ultron is constantly evolving. The way I'm thinking of it, and I, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of like Amazo, where Amazo was always evolving. Amazo was evolving past was, or where he started, yeah, kind of thing. And I think with this version of Ultron, he's doing that. And you know, there are plenty of a million in a lifetime scenarios. And the Watcher even says, this isn't supposed to, you know, this isn't supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be able to blah, blah, blah. Well, sorry, I can. And now I'm going to screw your little world, your little shard glass world here up.
Yeah.
I had a fun time with this. For as many times as I've seen this, every time that I watched it, it was fresh each time. I absolutely loved Clint and Nat and everything that they did. I love the Zola stuff. I thought that was great.
And yeah. I loved how we kind of got a bit of the whole what would have happened if Clint had died instead of Nat.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the actual the end game version, but
right, no.
So it, many,
yeah.
It had so much callbacks to it, because not only did you have the whole let me go, let me do this, I'm, you know, that needs to be me dialogue. Even though Clint says he's tired of fighting, he goes down fighting. You know, because I love the beauty of him turning, and that one shot, that artistic shot, like it's like right after the arrow has embedded in the Ultron sentry, and mm-hmm. it goes before the explosion happens. It's that yellow shot of just him coming down with his arrow prepped, ready to fly, and you have all the Ultrons coming up at him. Mm-hmm. Like, I want that frame. That was a mm-hmm. beautiful image. But you even see the symmetry then in Natasha after she realizes that Clint is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her when she drops the shield and into her knees.
Yeah.
And she closes her eyes and drops her head. That is almost perfect match to Clint's pose in Endgame after he got the Soul Stone.
Yep.
And it is just, I love that symmetry and that the artists do things like that to capture these key MCU moments and find a way to bring that imagery back into these episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. I the whole Nat and Clint thing, like you said in the last episode, I think it was, or it might have been in your Origins episode over on the pullback, they are brother and sister. There's never really going to be romantic things going on with them, with each other anyway. And
not in the MCU.
No, I don't think so. And that's fine. That's the way it should be, I think. And
yeah, not unless it becomes a poly relationship with Laura, and I'm down for that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah.
I'm down for the first kid being Nat and Clint's, you know, Cooper.
Mm-hmm. I want to know. Okay, so we know that their world is basically destroyed.
Yeah, their war is suffering from nuclear winter.
Yep. Right now. Yep. I want to know, besides obviously dealing with a nuclear winter kind of thing, I want to know what in the hell did Clint go through to just feel like completely defeated? Like, if he would have looked like what, and of course he even says it himself.
This is pointless.
Wait. What? Don't sit down. Get up. Get up. Come on. You're human. You keep hope against the worst of odds.
Hey, Clint, come on. If we want to take down Ultron, we need an AI that can combat his code.
Yes, I know, but it's not here.
It's right there.
Sorry to break it to you, Nat. The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
The answer is right there.
We're going to find it. It just takes time.
What are we going to avenge when we're 90?
You're frustrated. I get it.
I'm not frustrated. I'm not. I'm tired, okay? We've all lost so much, and I'm not sure there's anything left worth fighting for. He's already taken over every program on the planet.
And the Watcher even says it, oh, you're so close, you're so close. And then he just sits down and starts pouting and gives up. And all of a sudden, Nat comes in, finds the folder, and she's like, oh, okay. He's like, but that's my box. I found it. I did it. And it's like, oh, God, come on, Clint. What's going on with you, man? So I want to know what the hell happened.
His wife and children were wiped out in a nuclear fallout.
There's that, yeah.
There's that. You know, his, he pretty much, you know, has lost like all the Avengers who were his second family, you know, he's lost S.H.I.E.L.D., all that. So, you know, he's lost that family. All he has is Nat. And, you know, now he's lost his arm, you know, and he's older than her too. You know, this Clint is gotta be at the point of Age of Ultron. You figure the older kid's gotta be, you know, 10, 12 maybe. In Ultron, maybe a little bit younger, but not more than 8 at the latest, at the most, how young he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now I'm teaching, I was with the fifth grade today and he's taller than a fifth grader. So, you know, he's probably, you know, a middle school's like 6th, 7th grader,
yeah,
the youngest. So you figure if the kid's 10, you know, that means that Clint's at least in his 30s. Because he probably didn't meet Laura until he was getting close to being in S.H.I.E.L.D. Or, you know, he met Laura after he was in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure even if they follow comic history, Clint didn't leave the circus until he was 16. So he would have been drafted into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at 18. So putting him 18-20, you know, when he meets Laura. So, yeah, he's in his 30s in Age of Ultron, which would put him in mid-30s for this episode. So mid-30s, having lost your entire family, your wife, your kids, you know, your coworkers, your mentors. And then you lose your good arm and your key defining factor of your life is your aim and your ability to use this weapon. Mm-hmm. And you have lost part of your body that is used for it.
Yeah.
That is a lot of psychological trauma.
Oh,
plus the PTSD of being probably the last man on Earth right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just saying, even with the little things that he says in this episode.
Yeah.
And even with everything you just said, it's a thing where we've said where we want more of the certain parts of the stories in these cartoons.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I want some sort of, not necessarily a flashback, but some sort of Clint recap. And you just kind of gave it to me probably,
yeah.
But it's one of those things where I would love to see something like to get him to the point of at the end where he's like, let me do this. I'm tired of being tired. I just want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And man, was that that was one of the most emotional moments this entire series. I would say that and the Christine thing. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But no, there's... Yeah, just a lot of emotional...
And they're definitely, like we've already said, they're definitely heading somewhere. Obviously, next week is the big everybody get together, everybody try to, because...
Next week is the season ender.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like next week is it for season one of What If? And according to it is part of Phase 4. The second season could be released as early as 2022. Winterbaum said it was in their intention to release a new season of What If annually. So supposedly, if it continues to do what it's doing, engaging people and telling interesting stories within the Marvel Cinematic Universe and alternate stories, we could get a season of that. We could get five over the next 5 years. We could get four more seasons. Who knows?
Well, and that's the thing is that as they keep making movies and they keep making content. Mm-hmm. So even like. WandaVision and Loki and all of those, they have the ability to keep finding episodes to make because, yeah. I'm sure that already there's going to be a whole, what if it wasn't Agatha? there will probably be they can keep revisiting some of these worlds that they've already visited and find fraction points within them. Mm-hmm. Like, what if on Party World, Party Thor, what if Freya didn't come, or what if in Loki, they can go and make a seasons off of the entire variants, So yeah, there's a lot of stories that they can still.
Yeah. I just thought of something, and I don't think this could ever happen because I don't think we've had. No, we haven't had Spider-Ham in MCU yet. But if we ever got Spider-Ham in a movie, you could have Spider-Ham and Alligator Loki teaming up. Oh my god!
No, but we do know Spider-Ham does exist in the multiverse because Spider-Ham is in Into the Spider-Verse.
True.
So we do know he exists in the multiverse.
Very true.
Because Miles Morales is part of the multiverse.
Yep, absolutely. Anything else on What If Ultron 1? Did we miss anything? Did we not bring anything up that we were supposed to?
Oh. Glenn? Is this my color?
Come on. Don't try to make this fun, Nat. My will to live meter is flatlining.
The Crimson Guardian shield. And then her turning, Clint, is this my color? It's my color, Yeah, I know. I love those moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love how Nat kept trying to keep Clint moving.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was the positive one, and he was like, it's all gone, it's all dead, it's all whatever, yeah.
Which is also another throw to Endgame, because when Laura and the kids, were dusted, look at what happened to Clint.
Yep.
And in that, so also a world where Nat wasn't involved in Clint's life. Whereas here, Nat is.
Yeah.
So that shows a little bit of difference in Clint, that Clint doesn't go all, you know, murder ninja. He, you know, he's still fighting a good fight, you know, and not fighting a fight where he is kind of just hoping to get himself killed in doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because honestly, that's part of what Ronan felt like at one point, was just part of him. You know, he's trying to do, he's trying to you be the bad person to take out the worst people, mm-hmm. because he doesn't really have anything else to live for. So he can at least do this. And if they lose him, you know, it, the world isn't going to have a problem with it. Natasha would eventually.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty I really wish that I was, that there were scenes written of Natasha and Clint catching up on that flight back, because I would love to have been a fly on the wall. Like, what were you thinking? but at the same time, it's, you know, so you had that symmetry where you actually got to see what kind of, what Natasha's influence with Clint would have been like to keep him going, to keep him on doing to, on the right side. Mm-hmm. Also, can we just say, oh my God, Adam bringing Zola back?
Yep.
That I love that, because it took me a minute to realize like what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I saw the file, I kind of was like, okay, so maybe Zola left behind codes. I didn't think there was another copy of his consciousness. I thought his consciousness copy was in New Jersey and long destroyed at this point. Mm-hmm. So to find that there was another copy of his consciousness. Oh, and then Natasha finding out Clint's middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And you just like, he's just like, you know, it's about his meemaw. And you're just like, wow, we are making sure people know that he is an Iowan farm boy, is where where he was born and raised,
mm-hmm.
before the circus. So get those little tidbits of like seeing connections to Crimson Dynamo or Red Guardian, you know, seeing the connection to, you know, Clint's past, you know, seeing the connection, you know, the reflections of Endgame and, you know, all of that. Just, it was really, I mean, first of all, this episode seemed a lot shorter than normal. You know, because it moved so fast. Like, I'm sitting here at the end and I'm, you know, normally it's like you look down at your watch and you're like, it's only been 20 minutes and you feel like they're packing so much story in here.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is only 30 minutes long and it felt like 10.
Yeah, because it moved so fast. The pacing on this was so good. It was so well done. They basically hit every spot they had to hit, between the stuff, you know, where Zola used to be, where you mentioned the one copy was, and then when they went to Russia, and then when we did this, and then when Ultron found out about the Watcher and he broke through the glass ceiling, and so many worlds, you know. All this and all that, and I can just hear him now up there in the sky in a world where Ultron won. Oh, man. I miss Don LaFontaine. I miss that man so much. But, yeah, it was so, so good. And it was – yeah, you're right. It didn't – like
– it flipped.
Because it kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger. It doesn't have this whole end, like every story to this point, we've had the Watcher at the end say something or give us some sort of whatever. these last two episodes did not kind. I mean, they kind of did it, but they kind of didn't do it because they're heading into this whole three story arc between 7, 8, and 9 of, you know, the end of this first season. And it, I'm just going to say it right now. This entire season is as good as the first three phases of the MCU. I mean, it's just on that same level. It's just, what if it happened to different people? Like you mentioned, there's fraction points in this and there's fracture points in all of this and everything else. And you find that crack and you figure out what story you can tell in between what's what we know to actually have happened. And that's what's so cool about this series, is that it lets you use your imagination.
Yep.
Anything else? Or are we done? I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm still like the robot arm, you know, and, you know, Clint's aim is still on par.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another thing that also gives it that, you know, time that a good amount of time has passed, because he's had to relearn how to use his bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. Because not only has he had to learn how to get the connections to the hand to do what he needs it to do, but it's a robot arm, which means that he needs to learn now not to have the strength for it, but to not use too much strength, because he will break his bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was like missile fire arrow shooting he was doing at that point. Was. And even though he's a quick shooter to begin with, I mean, that robot arm has like at least like made his shooting speed go up by 1.5 speed. So,
absolutely. So,
yeah. Like, yeah, I'm just talking about Clint this entire episode. Nobody was surprised.
I mean, come on. He was the he was one of the focuses. So how could you not?
I know.
I mean,
I actually get to have him as my main focus for once and not be like trying to worm him into like Superman and Lois somehow, like I do all the time.
You know how Bailey has it all comes back to Superman?
Yeah.
Well, you can have it all comes back to Hawkeye, and you got to figure out how you can tie everything in Superman and Lois back to Hawkeye.
Well,
I'm sure there's definitely going to be a flowchart of that, folks.
Maybe if we get 20 iTunes reviews.
I don't even remember when the last one was. I think it was like 2011 or before that. It might have been 2018. I don't.
Well, no, that'll be a 20, you know, a 20 thing for the Hawkeye mini podcast.
Yeah. And absolutely. All right, folks. I think that's going to do it for us. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we will be back to close the show after this.
Listen, Skynet. I've seen the Killer Robot movie, and I gotta say, I really don't think it needs a sequel.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulson.
Sure, Brain, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Hey gamers, TV's Mr. Neil here. The Gaming Hipster is my personal podcast in which I take you on a journey through my history of gaming, both new and old. Each month is a new topic show in which I bring you my console memories, give reviews of my favorite video games, and talk with cool guests.
People have made cartridges that will actually play Netflix on Nintendo.
I was making sure that I got everything. I was writing it all down.
They fixed that for the third fake prototype.
And that's the first time I remember seeing real animated boobs.
Find the podcast at geekcastradio.com or on Spotify. You can also hear a deluxe version of The Gaming Hipster at ravinghipster.com or patreon.com/MrNeil. For $2 a month, you can hear longer versions of the podcast with after-show segments and stuff too raw for the internet. You also get various topic shows, my commentary podcast, The Big Bad Movie Show, commercial-free GeekCast stuff, and more, all at patreon.com/MrNeil and ravinghipster.com.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
ToyCast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the GeekCast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. ToyCast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to ToyCast.
Hey, it's Wes from Poppin' Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about PoppinOffToys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, PoppinOffToys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover ToyCast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover ToyCast.
No. I found you. I finally found you. So many universes. So much chaos.
They need to be silenced.
You do not have to do this.
Oh, but it's my purpose.
All right, folks. We are back here on ToonCast, as it is all Hawkeye all the time, apparently, around here. I guess you could say we're in the middle of Clint's customs.
Yes.
So, do you have anything you would like to promote?
I'm trying to think.
There are 26 episodes of the Superman and Lois tapes, folks. You can go listen to all that fun over there at the Fortress of Baileytude.
Yeah, that's a thing to promote. We are working on designing our 10 episode mini series podcast. So you want to be a Hawkeye?
Yep, that's going to be on the Pull Bag and Studio 2009 since it's live action. So that'll be a crossover with the Pull Bag and, like I said, Studio 2009. So yep, we're doing that.
And I have been talking. Both behind the scenes and pretty much very, blatantly on Twitter, to a couple of different comic book Hawkeye writers, both Clint and for Kate, to see if I can get some, special guests to help introduce the world of both the Hawkeyes through comics before we start seeing how the Fraction verse in the comic for Hawkeye merges into the MCU version of Hawkeye post Endgame.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting and fun conversation. And I am hoping that not only that, but then that my my special guest people who come will then also be able to promote all of the stuff that I have read already that I love that you all should be reading.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We are nothing but promotion machines over here at the Geekcast Radio Network. You know what I mean? As long as, you know, as long as I can get whomever, let's just insert name here, Kelly Thompson, to say something cool about whatever show it is or whatever, you know, that's fine. They can promote whatever they want to promote. It's because we want to know about it and we want our listeners to know about what our guests are doing. So, all right, folks, we're going to get the heck out of here. As always, we want to thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Please leave us comments on the website. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Steve usually forwards stuff to me, so I'll have to see if he can check that. I don't think we've gotten any emails, but you never know. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at GCR and TuneCast and TuneCast Beyond for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
It is at Ali Sky Richards, A-L-I-S-K-Y. R-I-C-H-A-R-D-S.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also look for TuneCast, all tunes all the time over there, as well as the Superman and Lois Tapes Facebook page. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our spoiler-filled thoughts on Season 1, Episode 9 of Marvel Studios' What If? For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Allison Sky Richards.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the tune in you.
Yay!
Yes, yes. Every digital program. The one that I have in mind is a little more analog.
Hey. Grab it. Grab it.
No way.
You did it.
What?
Let's just say you're going to feel like a real jerk for almost quitting.
Wait, stop it! That, you found it? That was my box.
An old Hydra base in Siberia.
Zola, what is that, an acronym?
He's a man, or at least he was, and he is going to help us wipe out Ultron.
They did it. They really did it. There's still hope.
I mean, nobody could have more of a punchable face than Sam Lane.
Well,
there's just no...
Well, it'll be interesting to see, that's for sure.
The boundaries of the multiverse are irrelevant to beings like you and me. I didn't evolve by staying inside the lines. It doesn't matter. From here, I can see everything. No one can stop me now.
I'm out of options. Thing has left me no choice.
Been there. Been living the dream alone in a prison of my own making ever since. Are you ready to break your oath?
You want me to say it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to hear you say it.
Okay. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I see now. I need your help.
Stuff and things and things and stuff.
That's right. Stop stuffing your things in my stuff.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.